So we are reading from Shichitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, text number 52, the External Reasons for Lord Chaitanya's Appearance. This is chapter 3. Krishna Varnam Tasha Krishnam Sangopanga Straparshadam Yagyai Sangirtana Prayer Yajanti Hi Sumedasa. Krishna Varnam. Repeating the syllables Krishna. Tvisha. With a luster. Akrishnam. Not black, golden. Saanga. Along with associates. Upanga. Servitors. Astra. Weapons. Pashadam. Confidential companions. Yagyai. By sacrifice. Sankirtana Prayai. Consisting chiefly of congregational chanting. Yajanti. They worship. He. Certainly. Sumedasaha. Intelligent persons. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This text is from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained this verse in his commentary on the Bhagavatam, known as the Karma Sandarbha, wherein he says that Lord Krishna also appears with a golden complexion. That golden Lord Krishna is Lord Chaitanya, who is worshipped by intelligent men in this age. That is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam by Garga Muni, who said that although the child Krishna was blackish, he also appears in three other colors, red, white, and yellow. He exhibited his white and red complexions in the Satya and Treta ages respectively. He did not exhibit the remaining color, yellow gold, until he appeared as Lord Chaitanya, who is known as Gaura Hari. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that Krishna Varna means Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Krishna Varna and Krishna Chaitanya are equivalent. The name Krishna appears with both Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Krishna. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he always engages in describing Krishna and thus enjoys transcendental bliss by chanting and remembering his name and form. Lord Krishna himself appears as Lord Chaitanya to preach the highest gospel. Lord Chaitanya always chants the holy name of Krishna and describes it also, and because he is Krishna himself, whoever meets him will automatically chant the holy name of Krishna and later describe it to others. He injects one with transcendental Krishna consciousness, which merges the chanter in transcendental bliss. In all respects, therefore, he appears before everyone as Krishna, either by personality or by sound. Simply by seeing Lord Chaitanya, one at once remembers Lord Krishna. One may therefore accept him as Vishnu Tattva. In other words, Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna himself. Sangopanga Straparshadam further indicates that Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna. His body is always decorated with ornaments of sandalwood and with sandalwood paste. By his super excellent beauty, he subdues all the people of the age. In other descents, the Lord sometimes used weapons to defeat the demoniac, but in this age, the Lord subdues them with his all-attractive figure as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that his beauty is his astra, or weapon, to subdue the demons. Because he is all-attractive, it is to be understood that all the demigods lived with him as his companions. His acts were uncommon and his associates wonderful. When he propagated the Sankirtan movement, he attracted many great scholars and acharyas, especially in Bengal and Orissa. Lord Chaitanya is always accompanied by his best associates, like Lord Nityananda, Advaita Gadadhar, and Shivas. Srila Jiva Goswami cites a verse from the Vedic literature which says that there is no necessity of performing sacrificial demonstrations or ceremonial functions. He comments that instead of engaging in such external pompous exhibitions, all people, regardless of caste, color, creed, can assemble together and chant Hare Krishna to worship Lord Chaitanya. Krishna Varnam Tosha Krishnam indicates that prominence should be given to the name of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya taught Krishna consciousness and chanted the name of Krishna. Therefore, to worship Lord Chaitanya, everyone should together chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. To propagate worship in churches, temples, or mosques is not possible because people have lost interest in that. But anywhere and everywhere, people can chant Hare Krishna. Thus, worshipping Lord Chaitanya, they can perform the highest activity and fulfill the highest religious purpose of satisfying the Supreme Lord. Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, a famous disciple of Lord Chaitanya, said, "The principle of transcendental devotional service having been lost, Krishna Chaitanya has appeared in order to deliver again the process of devotion. He is so kind that he is distributing love of Krishna. Everyone should be attracted more and more to his lotus feet, as hummingbees are attracted to a lotus flower." So I've selected this verse from Adi Lila, third chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, because Sri Krishna Janmashtami is very rapidly approaching. And this verse is... in this verse we see the importance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we can ask ourselves, why did I choose this verse? We see in the first paragraph of this of this purport that it is explained that Krishna comes in every single age, in every yuga. He comes in different colors, red, white, blackish, and finally, in Kali Yuga, he comes in yellow form, as Lord yellow golden, as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam sarjamyaham." This is the wrong verse. I was thinking of another one. Krishna appears whenever there is a discrepancy in religion, whenever there is an increase in demonic propensity of the living being, whenever there is a disturbance caused by the demons in this material world. We see in the beginning of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that there was so many military phalanxes burdening the earth. And earth, Bhumi, was feeling overburdened by this. So many demons, demonic forces moving on her surface. So she approached Lord Brahma and she was crying to Brahma, "Please do something, this is getting too much." So Brahma said, "Okay, all right." And they went together with all the other demigods. They went to the ocean of milk. And there they performed, they were praying to Lord Vishnu to give them guidance in order what to know, that they would know what to do in terms of this big problem that arises from all these military phalanxes. So at the end, Lord Brahma hears the voice from Lord Vishnu, and he tells him that soon he will appear in this world as Lord Krishna, and all of the other demigods should appear in the Yadu dynasty so that they could assist him in his pastimes in this material world. This we see in this verse. Krishna always comes with his personal associates, with his confidential companions, with his weapons and his servants. So Krishna, in the same way, told all the demigods, you should descend in the Yadav dynasty, and you will assist me in my mission in this material world. Krishna is known as Lila Avatar. He is performing various pastimes without even trying. You know? He's just going from one pastime to another. And from his very birth, he's performing pastimes. He appears in the prison cell of Kamsa. This is very unusual place to take birth. And he comes in his full four-armed form. He appears before Vasudeva and Devaki with all the weapons and his whole splendor. And then he assumes, on the request of Devaki, he assumes a little form of Krishna. And Devaki is very afraid, even though she sees this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But she is very afraid that Kamsa will come and will hurt Krishna, because she is overwhelmed by her motherly love for Krishna. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a conversation between Vidura and Uddhava. Yeah, and Vidura was just on his pilgrimage. And on the pilgrimage, he came to know that all of his relatives, namely the Yadav dynasty and the Kuru dynasty, they both disappeared from this world due to friction, like a forest fire. And they were fighting amongst each other. Two big fratricidal wars took place. And all of his relatives disappeared from this world. And it was very shocking to him. So he also asked Uddhava again, same question. How is the Yadav dynasty? He asked about everybody. Even though he knew that all of them have already left this world. So Uddhava starts to explain to Vidura. First he remembers Krishna, because he fell into ecstasy remembering Krishna. But then he starts describing his misfortune, that although he has taken birth in the Yadav dynasty, he has not seen Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Srila Prabhupada comments in the purport that the Yadav dynasty, their highest realization of Krishna was as Paramatma, or the super soul. So they did not see Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They saw Krishna as the super soul. Others, like the demons, they saw Krishna only as some powerful kshatriya, some powerful enemy of theirs. So they did not. Their misfortune was even greater. But in this way, Uddhava is saying that he could not serve Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They were not seeing Krishna. They were seeing him as their relative, but also as an expansion of the Supersoul. But then Prabhupada says, but the residents of Vrindavan, they saw Krishna. They didn't know who Krishna was, but that was due to their great devotion for Krishna. If they would see Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that would interfere with their love for Krishna. They only wanted to see Krishna. During the Rasa dance, the gopis, when Krishna hid from them, then they were searching for him in the forest, and Krishna was hiding behind a bush. So then, in order to play with them, he manifested his Chaturbhuj form, his form with four arms. And when the gopis came to see him, he was there standing as Lord Narayan. And the gopis offered him obeisances and said, "Oh, my dear Lord Narayan, please accept our humble obeisances. But where is Krishna? Have you seen Krishna? So they accepted Narayan as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they wanted Krishna, who they thought that was just a small boy playing around, playing with them in their loving affairs. But then when Srimati Radharani came, Krishna could not keep his forearm form. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna is the source of all the avatars. We have the picture of Dasha avatars here. He's the source of all of them. It is said, what's the verse now? Forgotten. But Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. This is the Paribhasa Sutra of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the verse that illuminates all the other verses. We understand it in this light. Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he comes, it is said, Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. Whenever there is a disturbance, when the demons start to uprise, then Krishna comes and descends in this material world and does his establishes the principles of religion and destroys the miscreants. But in this age of Kali, everybody is a demon. Nobody is a devotee. It is said that actually the demon and the devotee live in the same body in the age of Kali. And there is this example of the good dog and the bad dog. When we feed the good dog, then the good dog will be stronger. But when we feed the bad dog will be stronger and he will bark the loudest. So in the same way, if we do demoniac activities, if we feed our demoniac nature, then our demonic nature will be almost insurmountable. In this age of Kali, we just walk down the street and our demoniac nature is being fed. It's being spoon-fed. All the nonsense that it requires to become really strong. And in this age, we don't have the mental strength to perform any kind of meditation, to perform any kind of sacrifice, to perform any kind of worship of the Lord. These are the processes for the previous ages. In previous ages, people had strong determination and they were very pure. So they could perform all these kinds of activities. But in this age, my spiritual master, His Holiness Kalambakana Swami, he compares it that we are children with learner's problems. In previous ages, everybody was just very capable. They could meditate. They could go straight back to Godhead. Those who did not make it back, they got another chance in the Dwapara Yuga. And they had to perform the big sacrifices for the pleasure of the Lord. And most of the people went back to Godhead in that age also. Those who did not went to Dwapara Yuga. They had the chance to worship the deity of the Lord. And most of them also reached perfection. But those who were the most degraded, the most retarded, the most, those who wouldn't even be, they wouldn't even be in animal form of life in Satya Yuga. They got the chance to get this human form of life in this age of Kali. And now, our only chance is to chant Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra, and worship Krishna with the holy name. But it is not that the holy name, the chanting of the holy name, is the least powerful of them all, or just some sort of compromise for the people of the age of Kali. It is the most powerful of all the processes, because in such a short span of time, we can achieve perfection. It is said that on the higher planetary systems, one day is as long as 6 months on this Earth, or that is the daytime, and then the nighttime also lasts the same amount of time. So 1 year is 24 hours in the higher planetary systems. So the demigods watching down on this Earth, they're like, wow, these guys are so fast. You know, we're just just going back to Godhead. And this is all due to the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this age, he comes with all his soul, with Panchatattva. We have Panchatattva on the altar. And he is so merciful. He gives us this sublime process of chanting Hare Krishna. He surcharges it with all of his potency and all of his mercy. It is said that in every Kali Yuga, there is a Yuga avatar that establishes the religious principles and destroys the miscreants. And actually, one of the Goswamis, I forgot who, explains that he comes actually in a blackish complexion. It is not Gaura Hari. But in those ages, those Kali Yugas, the holy name is not so easily accessible. But in this age, because Krishna comes personally as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and there is this added mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Srila Prabhupada, he added the extra layer of mercy. He thickened the mercy as if he was making burfis out of milk. He condensed the milk. And now we get this chance. Just 16 rounds and four regulative principles. It's very simple. He says, Krishna consciousness is so simple, we might just miss it. But at the same time, it is so difficult for us, you know. Every morning, 4 o'clock, oh my God. When is the Mangala Arati going to end so we can go back to sleep? Sometimes we feel like that. Every single day. Why can't we just be normal, you know? Just get up at 7 o'clock and have a little coffee and go to work and then, you know, slowly get into the day. But no, we have to get up 4 o'clock, start chanting our rounds, you know, start... His Holiness Kadamba Kana Swami compares it to starting an old rusty machine back up again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And then it starts, you know, okay, now we start chanting and then we start gaining momentum and then it's already 6 rounds, whew, okay. I need a little bit of a break now. I've been doing so good. So anyway, in this way, we still, it is so difficult for us. There are so many distractions outside, and we are weak. We do not have any strength. So we have to surrender to our spiritual master. We have to surrender to Srila Prabhupada to get that mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this age, we are very much inclined to impersonalism. That is also one of the traps of Maya. It is said this is the last snare of Maya because we want to become one with the Supreme Lord. It all comes from envying the Supreme Lord. And to such people, Krishna never reveals himself because it is said Mayavadi, Krishna Aparadi. And in the Brahma Samhita it is said Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santasya Deva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti Yashama Sundra Chintya Gunaswarupa Govinda Madhi Prashamta Maham Bhajami. It is said that only to the devotees Krishna reveals himself. Only to those can see Krishna that have their eyes smeared by loving devotion and to Krishna. So in this way we cannot expect to just see Krishna. We have to go through our spiritual master. We have to render service to Krishna. In that way, by devotional service, we will get this pure love of God. Sometimes people say, oh, I do not like so much Gaur-Nitai or Panchatattva. I can't relate really to them, you know. I like Radha Krishna. It's, you know, more attractive to me. But I was listening to one lecture of Gadamba Khanna Swami, and he says, these people are still sleeping. They're sleeping. Because if we want to enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, we have to be completely pure. We have to have pure love of Krishna. It is said that Rupa Manjari, for example, who is Rupa Goswami, she doesn't even have slightest desire to enjoy with Krishna. Not even a little bit. She just wants to assist Radharani or Radha Krishna to be together, and so that they could enjoy their pastimes. There is a story between Rupa and Sanatan Goswami's in Vrindavan. When Sanatan Goswami wanted to invite Rupa Goswami to his place to have for lunch, and then one girl from the village, she brings him this milk to make sweet rice. And Sanatan Goswami is very happy. He accepts the offering, and he starts cooking the sweet rice. He cooks the sweet rice, and then Srila Rupa Goswami arrives, and they eat the sweet rice together. And Rupa Goswami, they both fall into ecstasy. It's too much. It's too sweet, the sweet rice. And Rupa Goswami says, well, this is such nectar, you know. Where did you get this sweet rice from? Where did you get the milk? And Sanatana Goswami says, oh, there's this one little girl, she came, and she brought this milk to make sweet rice for you. And Rupa Goswami, he immediately understood this was none other than Srimati Radharani. And he got very angry at Sanatana Goswami, and he said, how could you accept... how could you accept service from Srimati Radharani? This is an offense. You cannot accept service from either Lord Krishna or Srimati Radharani, the divine couple. So in this way, we follow in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami, but we don't have this kind of understanding. We don't have this love that the gopis can... the gopis can exhibit towards Krishna. We don't have this kind of love. So our only hope is to surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to turn to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then, by His mercy, and by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, we can approach Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none different than Radha and Krishna, but He is more merciful than Krishna. And all of His associates are also very merciful. It is said that without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, we cannot get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Nityananda is Adi Guru. So in this way, we have to serve our spiritual master. Krishna also says, Acharya Mam Vijaniya. I am the Acharya. So the Guru doesn't... is none different than Krishna. So in this way, we have to surrender to our spiritual master. And through our spiritual master, we will get the mercy of Gaur-Nitai. And through their mercy, we can get the mercy of Radha and Krishna. We can see in this verse that the main weapon of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was His beautiful form. Because with His beautiful form, He charmed everybody that had this kind of demoniac propensities. He delivered in this way Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He came to Jagannath Puri and he saw the deity of Lord Jagannath, and in the mood of Srimati Radharani, he fell completely into ecstasy. All the ecstatic symptoms were manifested in his body, and he fell unconscious. But because he was so beautiful and he was a very young sannyasi, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya felt that the guard should not kick him out or punish him, Jai Shri Panchatattva ki jai. Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Shri Kaunita ki jai. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he forbade the guards to punish the Lord, because he could see this person is not an ordinary person. This is usually this kind of ecstatic symptoms cannot be manifested by anybody. And so he understood this person is very special. So he took him into his home, and he waited. Actually, then the devotees also arrived a little bit after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then they chanted the holy names of the Lord, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regained his external consciousness. But then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was very much attracted to the Lord because of his beauty and him being a very young sannyasi. So he asked Gopinathacharya, who was a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was also Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's brother-in-law. So he asked him, who is the, and Gopinathacharya was living before in Navadvip. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked him who this person is, and he told him, this is Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and he is from Navadvip, and actually he is the grandson of Nilambar Chakravarti, who was a classmate of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was at that time, he was a big Mayavadi. He studied the Vedanta, and he understood from the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually in the line of Mayavadi sannyasis, but he was in the second class division of Mayavadi sannyasis, because he took initiation from Keshav Bharati. Bharati was considered to be a second class sannyas name. So he wanted to elevate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the first class sannyasi with the name of Puri or Tirtha. But Gopinathacharya didn't like this idea. He said, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead with the name Bharati or Puri. It doesn't matter for him in what the external situation is. He will always be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya could not believe this. He was like, what is your evidence for this? And Gopinathacharya got very angry. He said, you did not receive the mercy of the Lord, so you cannot see that this is the Lord in your house. You saw the great ecstatic symptoms, which cannot be exhibited by any mortal being. These kind of symptoms cannot be exhibited by any human being nor any demigod. You saw all these signs that this is the Supreme Personality of God, and still you do not believe it, because you think that ultimately Brahman is the highest. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was saying, yes, certainly he's a very elevated personality, but the Supreme Lord, no, this cannot be. So then he started to instruct Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Vedanta Sutra, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just sat there quietly. He didn't pose any question. He didn't say anything on his explanation of Vedanta Sutra. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya got very confused. He was thinking, why are you not saying anything? Do you understand anything at all? So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then he started to speak, and he defeats all the Mayavadi conclusions that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has had. So in this way, he killed the demoniac propensity, as I said before, Mayavadi Krishna Parani. So he killed this demoniac propensity of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But before that, he charmed him also with his beauty. And the same thing happened to the Mayavadi sannyasis in Varanasi, headed by Prakashananda Saraswati. They were criticizing the Lord because he was just chanting and dancing in the streets. And they were thinking, this is just some sentimentalist. But they invited him for lunch. And the Lord, he sat in the place where they wash their feet. So they were already charmed, you know, this very beautiful sannyasi, and he displayed his effulgence, so they could relate to him as, you know, as Brahman, that he was on very high level of advancement already. So they saw this effulgence, Brahman effulgence, so they were very attracted to him. So in this way, some desire for performing devotional service awakened in their hearts by this weapon of Lord Chaitanya's beauty. So they said, please, take a seat among us. Even though you might be a sentimentalist, you're still a sannyasi in a Mayavadi line. So you should also have accept some respect. So in this way, their hearts opened. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just injected them with love of Godhead. And all the Mayavadi sannyasis became devotees, actually. And Trinadapi Sunichana Tororivasa Hishana Amanina Manadina Kirtani Asada Hari. The Mayavadi sannyasis, they wanted respect for themselves. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't want any respect for himself. And in this way only we can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. And as it is said in this purport, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared before everybody either as the Supreme Lord or in physical form or in sound representation. So we can always associate with Krishna in chanting the holy names. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that actually our mantra in which we are initiated is Kirtaniya Sadahari, that we chant the holy name constantly. And it is only by submitting ourselves, being more humble than the blade of grass in the street, tolerant like a tree, and ready to offer all respects to anyone and do not expect anything in return. Just in this way, we can only chant the holy name constantly. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, why do we have to be consider ourselves lower than the straw in the street? Straw in the street is very low by nature. It is very insignificant. Everybody steps on this straw in the street. But the straw in the street cannot do anything in its own power by its own initiative to degrade itself even lower. But we can degrade ourselves even lower than we are already degraded because we can act on our free will. So, what is our qualification? What do we have to be proud about? You know, it is said, Kalo Shudra Sasambhava. Everybody in this age is born a Shudra. And by education, they become less than Shudras. Dvipada Pashu. Two-legged animals. So, whenever, you know, we see somebody walking around, you know, his Brahmin thread hanging out, you know, forgot to tuck it in, you know, from my morning Gayatri. You know, this is not how we measure advancement. Anybody who is just sincerely trying to serve everybody else and is trying to be express his obeisances or respect to everybody else and not criticize anybody, those people have really understood the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way, they can always associate with Krishna. Krishna always appears on their tongue. So we can pray to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Panchatattva that they let us understand the appearance of Sri Krishna, which is coming up very, very soon on Wednesday, right? Thursday. So in this way, pray to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada to let us enter into the pastimes of Sri Krishna. Thank you very much. Any questions, any comments? Yes.
Yeah, you nicely made that good point about surrendering to the authority, guru, shastra, deities, everything. But what comes in my mind nowadays, how time is passing, already nobody likes authorities. Even, I mean, teachers in the school are not authorities anymore. Whatever we like to learn and earn the money, we can on YouTube. So many things. So, out of your experience, maybe how you would explain to somebody why we need to surrender? can we make progress without surrendering? We can, I don't know, believe in God in own way and make progress. We can chant Hare Krishna and believe in Krishna and make some progress. Why we need to surrender our ego to progress?
Yes, very good question. We always have to accept some authority. Even if we learn from YouTube about different things, we accept that this person knows what he's talking about. So we will surrender unto him. Surrender in terms of accepting the knowledge that he is trying to give us. But a guru is not a tyrant. As Prabhupada always wrote in his letters, your ever-well-wisher. He is our ever-well-wisher. He does not want to bring us down. Oh, you have to surrender and now you become my slave or something. No, this is not. This is not the purpose of a guru. A guru is our ever-well-wisher. Whatever happens, he always tries to bring us closer to Krishna. Even if we reject him, even if we start to do nonsense again, he might chastise us once we meet again, but he will never let go of us. It's a relationship that goes both ways. So it is about what we make of this relationship, of this surrender. For example, my relationship with my spiritual master, I was very friendly. He was very friendly with me. But I always understood he was my spiritual master and I was the servant. So in this way, we have to understand that this surrender is not something that at that time we lose. No, we gain so much more. We gain shelter. In this world, we see all these calamities are always coming, you know. So that's why people drink. You know, they have to forget all these miseries. It's so miserable, you know, going to work every day for the whole year, then you think, okay, summer finally is here, you know, and then you go to the seaside and only 1 week, you know, you have time only 1 week to go to the beach and relax. And for that 1 week, it's miserable weather, you know. It's just raining all the time, and it's wet, it's miserable, it's cold. And then your wife is nagging, and children are, you know, too much. And then you have to go back, and the summer is already over. You have to go back to work, and then again, the whole year. You know, and we think we're going to gain some enjoyment without surrendering. And then, you know, floods come, like here, and your house is gone. What are you going to do then, you know? You just, and people contemplate suicide. But if we take shelter of somebody, somebody that has a lot more strength spiritually, then we feel protected. We are not on our own all of a sudden anymore. Then we feel connected to Krishna again. And if we are connected to Krishna, all bliss will come. But it is very difficult because we have to become a servant. And our ego is so big because we wanted to enjoy like Krishna. So that's why we did not want to surrender. So we have to accept that actually it was our own fault that we are in this world, that we are suffering. And how to get out of it, the only way is to surrender to a spiritual master. And then Guru Krishna Prasad Pai Bhakti Lata Bij, then the seed of bhakti will sprout in our heart. It is not possible on our own strength to come to Krishna. And just as if some wealthy person has his dog, and we do some service for the dog, this wealthy person will be very happy with us, you know, some manager, you know, very inaccessible. But if we do some service for the dog, then wow, this is a really nice person, you know. He petted my dog so nice, he gave him some treat. So in this way, we can also start a relationship with this wealthy person. If we try to approach this wealthy person our own strength, or try to understand him in our own way, there is no way. Krishna reserves the right to not be seen by anybody. So in this way, our only hope is to take shelter of the lotus feet of our spiritual master, as we sing every morning. Is that all right?
Yes. Thank you.
She had a question.
You mentioned that the gopis did not see Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and not even in the Yadava dynasty they only managed to see him as far as the Paramatma, because you said that that would impede or interfere with their devotion and their love. Mm-hmm. And that here in Islam we are encouraged to see the deities as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and not to have the personal relationships, or not to have that mood of trying to develop a personal relationship with the deities as our friends, but to worship them with reverence. That's what Prabhupada said, that this is what our mood should be. And the question is, why is that, and wouldn't that interfere with our devotion and love?
As I said, we do not have, so our love is not yet awakened. So if we try to serve Krishna in some way, we will just commit offenses, because we do not understand the intricacies of loving devotional service. For example, Hanuman was a great devotee of Lord Ram. He was a monkey. But he always served Lord Ram in a very, very big mood of awe and reverence. Because he said, he was talking to the Pandavas. He said, if I would act like the Pandavas, or he was talking to Narada Muni, that the Pandavas are the greatest devotees. He said, if I would act like the Pandavas, because I'm in the body of a monkey, I would definitely be very offensive. So I have to stay in this service attitude. I cannot be Lord Ram's friend. So in this way, just a few years ago, we were all committing sinful activities on the street. You know, we were nothing special. So who are we now to approach Krishna in any of the higher rasas, as a parent, as a lover, as a friend? You know, we do not know anything. You know, we have to first go through our spiritual master, and then slowly Krishna will reveal himself to us. And then, once we chant sincerely and we achieve a certain level and with mercy of Krishna, then everything will be revealed from inside, and our awe and reverence to the deities will not impede us. The same way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also worshipped Jagannath with great awe and reverence. That's why he stood at the Garuda Stamba. He did not want to see the Lord very close, because then again he would fall into ecstasy and he couldn't contain himself, you know. So in this way, but when he had his small Govardhan Shila, his personal deity, then he was just bathing it with his tears. So there he developed, he showed this personal relationship with Krishna. So the deity on the altar in the temple, of course, we offer prayers. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami every morning. But our deeper relationship will anyway develop even if we are in this Aishwarya mood towards Krishna. At the end of our life, by the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna, everything will be revealed.
What about the personal deities, people who have deities at home and treat them like family?
That's all right.
Because that's not awe and reverence. You don't.
It is said that in the temple, Krishna on the altar is like a king. So everybody worships the king, and everything is centered around the king. All the schedules, everything, Mangalarti is at the same time every day. And then all the Aartis are at the same time every day. So Krishna is the king. But at home, Krishna is considered to be a guest. So with the guest, you can have a little bit, adjustments you can make. And then also, Krishna becomes a family member. And there was this story about Madan Mohan, and Sanatan Goswami came and he saw this Brahmana, he had this Madan Mohan deity at home, and the children were playing with this deity, and they were not treating him as the Supreme Lord. So then Sanatan Goswami said to this Brahmana, this is not the way, this is not proper. So then in his sleep, Madan Mohan deity comes and he says, why did you have to interfere with the worship of this family? I was very happy how they were treating me. It was very nice, I was playing. But now, anyway, this is good because now you take me with you. And then we can see also the worship that Sanatana Goswami did. He just offered some small roti without salt. He hanged the deity in the tree, and said, if you want some salt, you have to get it yourself. I cannot, I'm a sadhu here. I don't have anything, so you have to bring it yourself. And then he arranged. But this is personal deities. There's some extra relationship happens anyway. Okay. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki.